be about the form question. And the characteristic feature of cyclic representations is the vanishing quantum dimension. Quantum dimension vanishes. We have a specific class of representations which are called cyclic. When the generator B is invertible, so representations with invertible B.
Is there also a knot invariant you can construct out of this?
Yes, this will be, so on the way, our problem will be modified, this is not the algebra, which we will be dealing with, that will force us to fix not only a three-manifold, but a three-manifold with embedded link.
And do you know what the corresponding knot invariant is?
In this case, in the S3, it would be just the Keller-Jones polynomial with cover n evaluated at this root of n.
Okay.
So actually, it is the construction corresponding to this example is very old, dating back to 1994, my first work on this subject. And now, today, actually, the talk is a joint work with two authors. In today's talk, what our result of last year is that now we seem to understand the universal algebraic framework which underlies such construction. I mean, first of all, it realizes all the this example fits into the scheme, and there are infinitely many more examples which fit. And actually, I will start with the definition of a so-called psi system, which just gives a list of requirements which we suppose on from the representation category we start. Okay, so I will just go to this definition. The general theory actually was designed just to encompass this example, but in the end of the day, it happens to be pretty general. Okay, so a definition. Let C. A monoidal category, so this in the square cross will be tensor product. To distinguish it from the tensor product in all vector spaces. So the monoidal category, a linear monoidal category. So linear means just that all homes are linear spaces, and all morphisms are tensor product, and the composition are bilinear. And psi system in C is consists of the following. First thing, of course, as is usual in such things, a set of simple objects. Objects. Vi, indexed by some psi. And so they are supposed to be pairwise equivalent. Pairwise equivalent. And the simple object here means just the fact that the endomorphism of Vi is any endomorphism of Vi is a multiple of identity. And in this case, there is a natural function on the endomorphism set. So any f in the endomorphism of the I has the form f equal some number identity. So this is the first assumption. Second assumption, so there is an involution. I to I, which sends I to I star. And the third, dualities. Dualities, which means that we can send the identity object in by some morphism Vi into Vi tensor Vi star, and we can also keep such pair by Vi. But these are supposed to be dualities, which means that we can compose them, and then there are zigzag identities.
Rinat, you're breaking your promise of not riding low.
Yes. Now I can and the fourth property is the most important one. It is kind of something which replaces semi-simplicity. We don't suppose that the category is semi-simple. And so what I think is this. So it says it's effectively the following. So if we pick up two objects in our set, then the tensor product either decomposes completely into the direct sum of the elements of the set, or it just doesn't contain any object in the decomposition. But we don't suppose that we have a direct sum of objects, so this can be formulated in terms of some certain properties of Holmes. So here is this formalization of it. If ij in I are such that form of such that yes form of bk bi tensor bj is non-zero for some k, then identity of di tensor bj is in the image of certain map f, and this map is this is a statement that there is a decomposition of unity, and this map is the following thing. So it is a map from direct sum for all k's in I home of vk into vi tensor vi tensor product. Now it is a tensor product of vector spaces home of vj vi vj into vk into endomorphisms of vi vj. So and the map is given just by f of x y by their composition. So that's a requirement, and so this is a psi system, which we will be dealing with the rest of. What is the psi system in this case? Our basic example. So it is the Borel sub algebra of ESL2. So the set I is just, for example, integers minus zero. And so corresponding representation Vm is just n-dimensional vector space where V to n's power, this is a central element in the algebra, so in a simple model it should be a number. And this this power is given by this integer m. And we demand that it is non-zero because we need them to be simple. So this is a set I, or with a set of simple objects, characterized by this, and A to N is 1. For simplicity. Now, what is the involution? So M star is minus N. Dualities exist because this is Hopf algebra. In any Hopf algebra, there is a dual representation. So, and it will be equivalent to V minus M. and the dualities, and then the last property, so let me say, so the form of Vm, Vi tensor Vj, so it is a trivial space as light. Oh, sorry, I should put it in a second. But it is Cn if m equal I plus j.
Sorry, what is capital N?
Capital N is degree of root of unity. So it is supposed to be minimal. So maybe I forgot to say. So Q to N equal to 1, but Q to lower degree is not 1.
Okay.
So this is the N. It's a parameter of the theory. And so here is a description of quantum spaces.
Why is B to the N equal to M?
This is my choice.
In this representation,
M is arbitrary integer, non-zero integer.
So M is not
consistent.
For any
stage,
for I, it's
defined
as vector space always of the same dimension.
Always of the same dimension, but the representations are different because the
center. This equal is just action.
Distinguishes that.
It's just a fraction.
Okay, so the image is always an n-dimensional matrix algebra, but formally the representations are different just due to this reason. Okay, so we distinguish them by this one. And this is the decomposition fusion, how to say, fusion data for this representation category. It's very simple, as you see. Just in the direct sum decomposition, so the either presentation Vm enters n times, or it just never enters. And so, and you see that if the sum, of course, can be zero, I plus j. And in this case, there is no such representation in the set. So it is exactly the first property of this requirement. But of course, any semi-simple category or fusion category fits into this scheme because if you have a fusion category, of course you have this property because you have complete decomposition for any pair. No restrictions in this sense, and so to the best of my knowledge, this is the weakest system of requirements from the category which I've seen, and which will permit. But of course, this is not will be quite enough for making the three-manifold invariant. On the way, we will demand something more than that. But already, this set of axioms permits to make to develop a very interesting algebra coming from the symmetry properties of CG symbols. So for the rest of my talk, I will be using graphical notation. And most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with it. So this notation will be identity of morphism in VR. This thing will be a B-map, which is identity to B-I, B-I star. So the direction of morphisms is from bottom to top.
From top to bottom.
And this is a B-map in the duality. And the most interesting objects are homes of Vk, Vi, Vj. These are basic building, this will be basic building blocks for all the constructions. So if we have an element here, then it is described by this kind of graph. This is not classes. And we have also this type of graph for an element in the form of Vi tensor Vj.
Whoa. That's inconsistent.
Sorry?
It's inconsistent.
Why?
Are you going from bottom to top or top to bottom?
From bottom to top. So this is a morphism from Vk onto Vi to Vj. So from Vk to Vi to Vj.
Yeah, but B is your B's and D's need to be switched.
Thank you. And now, as you see here and elsewhere, when we people are dealing with representation categories, so there are, we have to color always all edges by these object symbols. And but I'm going to write some relatively heavy algebra, but elementary. And I will not need actually this indices. So, as it is sometimes usual in homology theory to hide the degree, the grading variable just by taking direct sum of graded subspaces, I do the same here. So I take just direct sum of all home spaces. So H hat will be sum of all home of Vi tensor Vj Vk for all ijk, and similarly h check will be sum of points of vk vi vj. Okay, so we hide all indices, so these are actually graded spaces in this more general sense, and also we will be using a even bigger space like this. So and then and that is just a couple of remarks. So dimension, within this framework of axioms, so dimensions of all these spaces are finite. And then home of Vk, Vi is naturally dual to form of Vi Vj Vk, and the bilinear pairing is a very evident one. So if we have x ijk and y kij, so the number associated to this pair is just this. We put the y on top. We put the x on the bottom, and then we take the bracket. Bracket. I explain. So k is the simple object. So any endomorphism of k to itself is a multiple of the identity. So we pick up the coefficient. So the spaces are dual, so their dimensions are equal. And in turn, this induces a symmetric bilinear non-degenerate form on the H space. Right, so the result base field, symmetric bilinear. Oh, I'm sorry. So symmetric bilinear non-degenerate form. And so we have a, in particular, we can define for any, or for almost any endomorphism of H, its conjugate. H, which is just fxy, xfy. Okay, so we have such a conjugation operation on the set of linear maps on H. And now let me just turn directly to the CG symbols, which here we call tetrahedral forms. So they will be defined in an index-independent way, but essentially this is just the usual CG symbols.
Yeah, this remark, is this additional requirement or axiom, or is this a theory?
This is a proposition, yes.
It follows from the...
Yeah, from the axiom. There are two types of tetrahedral forms, which are multilinear forms on the fourth tensor power of the space H. The sum is always finite, but can be of arbitrary length. And so these are just coefficients of the identity morphisms when we, because this is in the home end set of DI. So we just pick up all coefficients, sum up, so this is a definition. And T bar is just a mirror image of this image. Just reflect it, for example, with respect to this axis. And so the crucial thing about all this construction are symmetry properties of T. Usually we know that when the quantum dimension doesn't vanish, usually we close this line, and then the symmetry somehow come out automatically. Here we cannot close it up, so but nevertheless symmetries exist in some modified form, and to describe the symmetries I need two operators. Again, the definition is graphical. So if we apply A to X, then its gradient component like this is given by X. And another gradient component is this, is given by then B is a mirror image. B mirror image. which means that you raise or lower the right leg. And by definition, they are involutions. And just one more proposition. ABA equal B star, A star, B star. And one immediate remark here. So if the operators are symmetric, nightmare now. If A star equal A, B star equal B, then A, B represent the group, a symmetric group of order 3. Also because they satisfy just a common plot defining relations. But in general, this is not the case. And this is the most interesting situation when it is not the case. And my topic is actually about exactly a non-symmetric case. Because if you have this property, then we can stop. Because CG symbols are absolutely symmetric, no problem. We can just pick up the matrix element and plug it into a space sometime. That is. And so non-symmetry of these operators is a kind of quantum nature, a reflection of quantum nature of the category. So, and now we, by using these operators, we can formulate now the fundamental lemma, which underlies all the algebraic consequences. It says that there are three identities satisfied by T forms. T 4, 3, 2, 1 equal T bar A1 star A3, T 2, 3 equal T bar A2, B3, T P 1, 2, 3, 4 equal T bar B2, B4 star. And this, we have three identities satisfied by this form. So the notation here is just the action permutation of the arguments here. So which means that when these are linear forms, that means that P23 exchanges the second and third tensor components in the linear form, and then it should be equal to the right-hand side. So we have three of them. And the meaning of them is just that the three generating relations, three reflections of the action of three generators in the symmetric group of order 4. And this is absolutely clearly seen if we slightly redefine the forms. Unfortunately, we realized it a little bit after finishing our paper, so probably it was it was better to use just another linear forms, just with a little bit permuted arguments. But I'm not able to memorize this permutations. So if we just redefine the forms like this, then these three relations just are rewritten in a better, in a more acceptable way. SP12 is equal S bar A3 star A4. SP23 is equal S bar A1 B4. and sp 3 4 is equal s bar v 1 v 2 star. So in this form, you immediately see just three generating elements of the symmetric group of order 4. And we have this transformation moves. And effectively, these are just the reflection of the tetrahedral symmetry, the symmetry of the 3G symbols. But in reality, there is a problem with this conjugate variable. So what I said is true if they would be symmetric. You already noticed that AB represent the symmetric group C only if they are symmetric themselves. Otherwise, this is some bigger group. The same here. So, before they, if they are not symmetric, these are not quite the action of the tetrahedral group. So, we cannot plug immediately this 6G symbols into the state sum, and then the state sum will be independent of the orientation of the tetrahedral. We have to modify it in order to remove this lack of symmetry. Yeah. And this is happens to be not a straightforward thing, and it has actually geometric consequences, because the outcome of this analysis is that the forms should be modified by introducing extra data, which will be algebraic analogs of dihedral angles of ideal tetrahedral in three-dimensional hyperbolic space. And they will interfere into the definition of the state sum, so we have to respect the angle addition rules in the of ideal tetrahedral in hyperbolic space. But these are algebraic, will be algebraic analogs of them, and then, so we manipulate them just by algebraic properties which are peculiar to dihedral angles of ideal tetrahedral. Namely, they should sum up to a constant for three angles meeting at one vertex. So in, for hyperbolic tetrahedral, we have this rule that the sum of three angles at one vertex is pi, because we can put this vertex to infinity, and then the orthogonal projection to the horizontal plane is a Euclidean triangle. And so let us just let me comment a little bit on some consequences of the lack of the symmetry of the operators A and B. And so of course we can measure this lack by some subgroup generated by A and B, which will be trivial if the operators are symmetric. So these operators are defined as follows. Yeah, we for example, we define A, which is unknown L, which is C, which is AV power 3. But if they are symmetric, then this relation just says that C equal to 1. And L is A star is A. Again, if A is symmetric and as it is an evolution, L is 1, and R is a B star. And, but, for example, in the basic example, it is far from being the case. So A star not equal to A, and the B star not equal to B. But C equal to 1. And unfortunately, I don't know any example where C is not equal to 1. But this general framework doesn't imply that C equal to 1. So, but it doesn't spoil the construction. So corollary, we have some linear homogeneous equations for T forms here involving these delts. For example, T C1 C2 equals T C3 C4. Another one, T R1 L2 equals T R3 L4. T R1 R2 equals T C3 R4. T L1 equal T C2 L3 L4. So this relation becomes just trivial, the trivial statement t equal to t if the operators are symmetric. But there is a one curious consequence, another curious consequence, moreover. There exists a T scalar just for the moment forget about T, just think that there is a scalar is a T scalar such that LR equal mu L in T sense. So effectively, so in the basic example, for example, it is the statement is that it is a scalar such that this relation is satisfied. And actually Q happens to be equal little q in the definition of the algebra. But this veil relation is a universal relation for any representation category satisfying the axioms I described. So in a sense, in this way, we see which category is quantum and which is not. Just looking what this T-scalar looks like. And if it is non-trivial, then the category is really quantum. And the basic basic commutation relation in any quantum group comes out just from the representation category like this.
What is this Q in your example?
Just the deformation Q in there. But in general, we have to. This is not in strict sense not valid. We call it T scalar, which means that it behaves as scalar when composed with T-forms. Because T-forms can have some kernels. So so about kernels, we cannot say if this is true. So we can see only do subspace which is not annihilated by it. This is the meaning of T. Scalar and the meaning of the T equality. Okay, so now we can now define the charged or the modified T forms just by using this LR operators, and then so basically this will be the end of my talk because the rest will be just saying that this modified T form should be inserted into state sum, and but this extra data will force us to pick up a Hamiltonian path in the triangulation, because just due to the fact that Euler characteristic of the sphere is 2, which means that we have to pick up 2 edges at each vertex. Okay, so these are called charged forms.
So there ought to be also some Elliott-Biderham identity that you skip.
Yes, I'm skipping this, yes. Okay. Of course, any 6G symbol satisfies pentagon identity. So these are kind of complicated formulas. So we pick up A and okay, so we have to suppose that there are square roots of L, R, and C. Suppose that there exist L1 half, R1 half, C1 half. And this corresponds to psi hat. A priori, they do not exist. And in the basic example, so this forces us to make N odd. In the basic example. For n even, this is not the case. Then we define, so we take pick up AC half integers, and the TAC will be T composed with some crazy word in R and L. R2 minus A, L3 minus A, R C minus C. And similarly for T bodies. T bar L2 minus A, R2 minus C, R3 minus A, R4 power C. So we define these T forms, and the proposition, so and define these forms, so A composed with L minus 1 half, B equal B R minus 1 half, then these combinations are symmetric, just from the definition of L, so A star equal A, B star equal B. So as I mentioned, so if the AB of X would be symmetric, there would be no problem at all with realization of the symmetries. And this is the solution to our problem when the symmetry is not the case. We modify these operators the way that they become symmetric. Simultaneously, we modify TAC, T forms as a forms dependent on pair of half integer, half integers. And then, fundamental lemma. Lemma holds with A replaced by A modified and B replaced by B modified, so they become really symmetries, but involving this argument. So T and T bar will be carrying these arguments. And I don't want to write them explicitly out, but I will say that this AC now makes sense geometrically. And the geometrical meaning is the following. So we just pick up tetrahedron, which we are going to associate a weight function given by matrix elements T, modified T forms. And so as usual, we put all the tensor indices on the faces, on the edges, as usual. But I will say just where we put these variables A and C. We put them just if we order the vertices, 0, 1, 2, 3. Then we put A to the edge connected by first two vertices and on the opposite edge. C on the on this edge and the opposite one. And B on here, where B is just 1 half minus A minus C. And as you see, these are just play the role of dihedral angles in our ideal tetrahedron. And the rules of the game with these charges is just that, for example, in the pentagon equation, we should add up these symbols the way that it fits into geometry. So you see that these are renormalized dihedral angles, so namely the angles divided by 2 pi. Right? This plays the role of pi. So if we divide pi by 2 pi, it will be 1 half. And in particular, it means that to be able to apply the pentagon identity in the site where the three tetrahedra, we have one interior edge. And then the rule of such that the sum of three dihedral angles meeting at this edge should be 1, and log of 2 pi. Otherwise, the identity is not satisfied. So, to make a state sum invariant, we have to color all dihedral angles of individual tetrahedra by these labels, and demand that for each edge which we want to erase, if we want, the unit total charge. But this will not be possible if we are dealing with a true three manifold, because the link of vertex is a sphere. And just for the reason that the Euler principle of the sphere is 2, we cannot maintain the unit charge at each edge which enters this vertex. So we have subtract the Euler characteristic and put on the rest the unit charge. So Euler characteristic is 2, so we have to single out two edges and put on the others unit charge. This we can support by the charge balance. And then on these distinguished edges, we have to put zero charges. So in the hyperbolic meaning, it should be at infinity. So we are effectively dealing with the complement of the knot in this sense. And we have to do that on each vertex, so it will be a pass running from vertex to vertex. In general, like a triangulated link embedded in the system. So that's a combinatorial setting which shows up by itself just from the algebra, which forces us to that we have to use it in order to be able to construct to write the rotating variant. So eventually, in this case, invariant will be invariant of Taylor's manifold. Thank you very much.
Questions.
And so, do you have examples of psi hat systems that were not that lead to invariants that were not known by previous constructions?
No, the only example which have been worked out to the very end, so it is the basic example. I have now a student which who works on SO3 case boring subalgebra, but some twisted case where Cartan subalgebra is one-dimensional, so that the fusion rules are almost like the fusion rules for the basic example. So, I mean, in the tensor decomposition, just one irreducible appears, but many times, and so it is very similar algebraically to the basic example, but it is nevertheless SL3. So technically, it's much more involved, but I hope that at least the invariant, the wave functions will be calculated. So already the calculation of A, B, R, L operators is quite a bit.
Can the construction be used to define invariants of manifolds with toric boundary starting from?
Yes, so the only characteristic of the torus is zero, so we don't need to pick up any edge. So Bezier Benedetti so just use the basic example to work out such example. But there are some technical issues of the uniqueness of the of the charges. So this, in my mind, this is not worked out completely. So up to this fine point, yes, of course, we can do deal with cast manifolds. Then no need for Hamiltonian.
But in this space time, you use anyway this ABC and so on, and they may vary. So
yes. So this I mentioned the uniqueness of the choice. So if we can deal with the truth at this S3, then up to some equivalence on which the invariant doesn't depend, the choice is unique. But it is not the case for cast case. If we have torus boundary, then we need the homology. So the choice is parameterized by homology of the boundary.
I want to make
yes.
First of all, the invariant doesn't depend on the choice of this ABC. You choose them in some way to satisfy the requirements, but the result doesn't depend on this choice. So that's one. Second remark, there was a work of Rishitikin, De Concini, and Ross, and other people who produce a kind of version of quantum loops. And it seems that this version produced such psi hat systems. In general. So there is a general theory producing such systems from the algebra. And the third remark, you should explain where the symbol psi comes from.
Yes, symbol psi is the University of Indiana.
Very careful.
So the definition has been finalized at the University of Indiana.
So the
book. I am.
And the university?
So, you have a quantum stuff, but apparently no gradient. Is there some hidden gradient?
Yes, so you see this, eventually this will be TT of T. Mm-hmm. But TT of T gives mapping class group representations. And great groups are mapping classes, the mapping class groups of a bunch of spheres. Sorry?
So this means that it is implicit theory.
Yes, yes. No, because Euler characteristic is not vanishing, and even it is negative dimension, so there is a conflict, there will be conflict with charge rules and Euler characteristic.
Other questions? Thank you. No question.